Hello everybody, and welcome to the Process Explorer module of the SysInternals troubleshooting workshop. So, you know what, let's just straight jump into it, right? So, what is Process Explorer? Well, think about Process Explorer as an IT pro version of the Task Manager, right? So, within Task Manager, I mean, it's nice, right? But it has some limitation for us as administrators when we really want to understand what is going under the hood. So Process Explorer addresses that, and it's really focused on the processes, and you really get an understanding about what is happening behind the scenes. It combines some SysInternal tools to a one, let's say, unified tool. And the overview of the Process Explorer is the tree view. So it has a list of processes with parent-child relationships. Any tab data can be added as a new column, and it does not require admin rights, but it helps to get some more information. But I don't want to spend too much time with slides, so let me just show you what I mean and walk you through Process Explorer. So for this, I'm going to open my Windows 8 demo machine. Let's have a look where I have it. Over here, Windows 8. Go into full screen. And let me open Process Explorer, which is on the C, Tools, SysInternals and Process Explorer. Starting it now. Takes a little bit. Oh yeah, run anyway. So there's the license agreement. I have to agree on it. Well, obviously, I want to agree on it because I want to use the tool set, right? Okay. So when you open Process Explorer, it has this process and child relationship as mentioned before. So what is important for me is I will just do that. So within under explorer.exe, I see the executables which has been just started under my user context. And just really let me walk you through this, right? So if you right click on an executable, you have a various of options. So you can change the priority level of this executable. You can kill the entire process tree if you want, or just restart this process, suspend it. You could even create a dump, in not just a mini dump, but you can go for a full dump if you want to do some debugging analysis on a process. And what is most important for us is the properties, because within the properties, we have information about the image itself. So we see the version, the build time, which command line has been actually used to start this executable. So this might give you some understanding, like, okay, why is the user interface not appearing? Well, maybe the command line forced him to not use the user interface, right? You see the auto start location. You can verify the process. Bring it to the front if you have an executable where you're sure. Hey, wait a minute, like, I don't have that on my machine. Why is it running? Well, just bring it to the front and you would see what's going on, right? You can leave some comments if you're in the middle of analysis. If you go to the performance view, well, you have the CPU information, virtual memory, physical memory. Remember, well, we covered that one in the Windows Internals Lite version. So that's why it was important, so you know what I'm talking about now. Disk I/O, so how much reads, writes, handles. If you go to the performance graph, well, that looks familiar, right? That's basically what you see when you start the task manager. GPU graph, within the strings, you see the printable strings. All the environment subsystem, environment variables. Within security, you see the security context of this specific process. So what are the permissions before it? You can even change those permissions. Within TCP/IP, you can check whatever this process is communicating outside or internal, and if so, to which address it's communicating. And one of the most important parts is, and where I spend most of my time, is the threats area. So I see how many threats are executed at the moment. So we have 42 threats which are waiting either in the queue or currently executed. And here we see the starting address and what it is basically doing, right? So here you see how much CPU time it's used, how many cycles it has done, and what is really going under the hood. And below you have the thread ID, starting time, how much time it spends on the kernel, and how much time it spends in the user mode. And remember, context switch, I was saying, like, don't worry if it's 1,000 or something going on. Like, in this example, we are at 10,000 context switch so far. And everything is good, like. If you want to go even deeper, just click on stack. And now you see really this each step this thread is doing, right? So in this example, you see the user 32.dll.dll communicate to explorer.exe and goes down to the ntdll.dll, which was responsible in this case to start the thread itself. So let me cancel that area. What I also really like about sysinternals tools, because most of them have it, is the bullet eye. So ever run into the scenario where an error message popped up and you just saw, like, oh, wait a minute, where is this error message coming back, right? Particularly if it's an error message saying, like, oh, you know, it's unknown error message. And you say, like, oh, man, like, unknown error? Where is it coming from? Well, you know, you can just use Process Explorer, or depending on which sysinternal tool you want to use, and use this bullet eye function to pin this bullet eye to that error message. And the sysinternal tool will tell you which executable is responsible for this error message. So this one is really one of the cool things I know and really appreciate within the sysinternal tool. I know it's like something small, but it really helps. So what else is important is, like, you can use for you can search for specific handles or DLLs. Also, within the processes, you have within the users area, you can connect remotely. Remember, I was saying that one of the philosophies behind sysinternals is to be able to use it remotely. So you can connect to a remote machine and get those information as well. Within the options, you can, and you know, actually I saw that once on customer, you can replace the task manager with Process Explorer. So what they did actually, like, they clicked OK and choose that option. And now every time the admin was going to opening task manager, it actually opened Process Explorer. So I was once on the customer and, like, you know, I noticed that every time, like, the guy was trying to open Task Manager, he was ending up in Process Explorer, and I was like, what's going on with my machine? This is not Task Manager. And what the admin did actually was, over a group policy, he forced that Process Explorer will replace Task Manager. And so everyone was forced to use Process Explorer, because their understanding was, like, you know, if we have this deep dive analysis tool, let's just use it and force everyone to use it within the IT team. So that's what was pretty interesting. Like, I personally use it as well, so I replaced Task Manager with it. And so, as mentioned, you can use it within your own normal user, but to fully utilize the tool, what would make sense to use as an administrator. For this, you can click on File and Show Detail for All Processes. Restart the application and the admin context, and now you will get some more information. By the way, I elapsed wininit.exe, but now I would really just want to focus on it. So I believe that everyone saw once in a while on the task manager svchost.exe. Anyone, do you know what is it actually? Well, you know, svchost.exe is a storage for Windows services. So notice that we have now within the properties some more additional areas. One of them is services. So now with a Process Explorer, you have the ability to really look into svchost.exe to see, okay, which Windows service is it actually storing. So for example, in this one, we store RPCSS and RPCEPT mapper, right? You wouldn't be able to see that with Task Manager. And again, you have the option to change the permission of them. So really, like, I can just emphasize to utilize Process Explorer. It gives you really a good understanding of what's going on in the system. You can sort it however you feel most comfortable. So for me, I use mainly the default one, but I add some additional columns because I want to see, for example, if the process has been virtualized, and I want to see the integrity level. And what's also for me important, and I want to see it straight away, is the version of those executables. So let me just open it a bit to go into full screen. And now really what you can see is you have the version, publisher information, which priority level it's going through. So this helps me a lot in troubleshooting, and really Process Explorer is one of the first tools I use when it comes to troubleshooting Windows performance issues. So let me go over to the slides. All right. So what have we talked so far? So within the properties, right, we have the verified signer, which indicates whether the execute image has been verified as digitally signed by a certificate that chains to a root authority trusted by the computer. The image path, the path to the executable itself, and the command line, so the command line which has been used to start the process. Within the performance area, we have the performance matrix for CPU usage, virtual memory, disk I/O, physical memory, and really all data on the tab is updated on the Process Explorer refresh interval. Most data can be viewed as columns, by the way. In the threats area, well, that's really like one of the most important parts. So you have the TID, system assigned thread ID, CPU total usage, cycles delta, so the number of times the thread has control of CPU and begun executing since last refresh cycle, and start address, the symbolic name associated with the location in the process virtual memory where the thread began executing. Windows services, so you see you can stop, restart, pause, or resume those. You can change the permissions. And really, you can go into the SVC host executables and see which Windows services are inside it. Within the performance graph, you get a general understanding about what the CPU usage is, the memory usage, and disk I/O. TCP/IP, so in case the process is communicating, you would see the traffic there. So you see the local address, the remote address, what's the status, and which protocol has been used, TCP, UDP. And by the way, it supports TCP/IP version 6. And by the way, did you know that since Windows Vista, actually, we don't test anymore our operating system or new functionality without IPv6 enabled? So any tools out there or the operating system itself, we don't test it if IPv6 is disabled, right? So there's even a TechNet article saying, I think, something around, yeah, you know, we don't test our tools without IPv6 enabled, and if you want to disable IPv6, you should test all your application with it because Microsoft doesn't do it anymore. We believe in IPv6, and I think everyone should be slowly go through there. Also, the strings area, so the printable strings from image or memory, and you can even dump it to a text file. By the way, there are some command lines you might want to know. So there are some command lines to change the priority, to start Process Explorer minimize, so it's dash T, or to force the elevation with dash E. But enough about the theory. Let me just share some material from the case of the unexplained series from Mark Rusinowicz. So, you know, I was talking about earlier, so you have an error message and you don't know what to use. Well, I showed you what you need to do now, right? So there's a bullet eye function, which you can see on the screen now. And just really press on it and drag it to the error message, and you will see which executable is responsible for it. Did you ever went through a scenario where you had the executable, which was blocking a data, but you didn't really know which executable was responsible for it? So in this example, we have a PowerPoint presentation, which is blocked somehow, but we don't know which executable is responsible for it. So what we did is basically we went to Process Explorer and searched within the Process Explorer search field for presentation 2, which was the name of the file, and we saw, okay, you know what, powerpnt.exe is blocking this file. So there was a confirmation file, and then we just killed the process, so we were able to utilize the file again. So I hope that this gave you a good understanding of Process Explorer and how you can utilize it for your everyday need in order to troubleshoot successfully Windows performance issues. And yeah, well, I hope you really enjoyed it, and thank you.